Fight!
Welcome once again to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode number 87. I think we've talked about school before, early education, elementary, middle school, high school. We've talked some about that live on the podcast, but I'm talking about out of the core educational components with science, math, English, and history. Is that fair?
Okay, yeah. And PE.
Okay. Yeah, I knew someone was going to say PE. Really? Y'all are those guys?
Of course.
Not at all. I was actually a really nerdy kid.
Really, Kenny? That's so surprising.
You were a nerd, Kenny?
Kind of.
So outside of PE, outside of lunch, I'm talking about those core components, science, math, English, history. Which was your favorite? Not what were you best at necessarily. Which was your favorite?
Specifically elementary school? Because I feel like it changed throughout time.
No, I'm talking about completely elementary through high school. Which was your favorite?
You'll have a much easier time if you give me a specific grade.
Oh my gosh, Kenny.
I'm sorry. I'm annoying. It's open-ended it changes every year and I'm a complex.
Sixth grade, halfway through.
Okay.
Wait. Sixth grade. Oh, I thought you were answering me. I was like, did I ask the wrong question?
Oh my gosh, no. I'm trying to baby Kenny into giving us a halfway answer.
All right.
Maybe.
Here, Kenny. Yeah, halfway through sixth grade. Which one?
Okay, sixth grade was language arts.
Why is that English? Is that English, right?
Yeah.
We're talking English? Okay.
Yeah, English.
Yeah.
That's what we called it.
Wait, what did you call it? Language arts?
Language arts. Yeah, that's pretty standard.
Mine was English and literature.
Your favorite was English?
Yeah. I liked reading. I liked AR points.
AR points were the bomb.
I was good at math, but I loved English.
Okay. And so I was also good at maths. I did the whole advanced mathematics with calculus 2 and statistics. The thing was, math is extremely difficult, but I always had solid teachers. And I think that solid teachers make or break a class.
For
right?
Sure.
So I'm assuming that you had good language arts teachers in sixth
literature,
and halfway through sixth
British
grade.
British literature. Yeah, I did.
I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm really excited about it.
I'm just completely interested in your mid-sixth grade favorite class.
Yeah, you want to read some business, and then you want to talk about it. That's the favorite. Easy.
Mine was always math. I liked numbers. I liked trying to find an acute angle of a triangle. There's no greater triangle than that of Cobra Triangle. Which, is that the name of a boat? Is it one of the bosses? Or does it have no connection whatsoever to the actual game itself? Find out in episode 87, Cobra Triangle.
Overview.
That was a mail-in.
You kind of gave up halfway through because you knew.
Yeah, you mailed it in.
I shipped that one in because...
No,
shipped!
No, no.
I shipped it in!
No.
Ship.
You cobra'd it in.
Boated it in.
Kenny, what's this stupid game about?
I'm speechless.
We need to give it the boat.
Here's the deal. Cobra Triangle had obviously nothing to do with any of those things. We don't know why it's called Cobra Triangle. Nobody does.
I think
I'm sure somebody does. It's probably the name of your boat. It's not big enough to be
like
a ship.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle. It's an area.
Wait. No, I don't...
It never specifies. What is it? There are three bosses, and they're all members of Cobra, and this is actually a G.I. Joe thing.
Oh, no.
Three bosses.
I missed that.
No, that's not it.
That is it. I missed that.
No, don't say I missed that. That's 100% not it. No. Do not give him props for that. That's not even close.
That's absolutely what it was. Here's what, every time that I heard this game title all week, I thought of somebody who was like taking the recent advice of like how to make a good password and like someone just choosing random words to string together in a memorable kind of like text pattern. Because I was with you, it made no sense to me. But for those of you who care about what the game was about and not what it was called, Cobra Triangle was a late 80s vehicular racing I'm not going to say it was vehicular combat, Dustin. I know you set it up that way last week, but it didn't really vibe vehicular combat to me. But you're a boat, and you do have guns, and you go through a series of challenges to... This game's so hard to explain, guys.
That's all you got?
This game's hard to explain. Okay, it's a top-down, like 3D isometric perspective game where you're this little boat and you're scrolling around trying to complete different objectives. The problem is there's so many different objectives that it makes it really difficult to kind of even say what the point of this game was, because sometimes you would be navigating a big boss fight. Sometimes you would be collecting items. Sometimes you would just be racing for time. Sometimes it would be about avoiding obstacles. Other times it would be about completing certain objectives while other boat enemies or airplanes or NPC gun turrets are trying to shoot you down. It's a hard game to describe.
What year did it come out, Kenny?
It came out in 1989. I guess I just said late 80s. That wasn't
very
descriptive.
And let's not forget who made this game.
Yeah, this was a rare title. If you have had the opportunity, and if you haven't, you probably should, to go back and do some of the rare replays that are highlights of Rare's, I don't know, best of or most well-known titles. This sits kind of right in the middle of it. Was a pretty unique game in terms of its objective. It doesn't feel like some of the other Nintendo titles of the day. It's not, you know, a platformer or really anything that it feels more like an arcade game to me than it feels like a Nintendo game. I don't know if you guys got that vibe.
It definitely breaks the NES formula for me, I thought, because like the isometric view is so odd for that platform, and it's not a platformer, which is what you're used to with NES, so it's definitely a strange NES title.
Yeah, felt really unique, especially for the console, I thought. It was put out by a very small group of people. I probably won't hit all of them, but the Stamper brothers were responsible for the main portions of designing the game. David Weiss did the soundtrack, and I think they had like one person working on the coding of it. You go back and read the credits at the end, and it was a very small team that put this game out.
You won't get to the end to read the credits, so you might want to just look it up on Wikipedia or something like that. But Rare, before we get too far, is the company that ends up producing GoldenEye 007 for the Nintendo 64, Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong Country.
Rare's a big deal.
Now, to be fair, I believe that was after like their merger, their partnership with Nintendo. Like Rare was on its own when it created this game, and then I think early or mid 90s they partner up with Nintendo. Nintendo buys like a quarter of the company and then uses them as you know, like a studio. So
there's a reason you get bought by Nintendo, though.
Sure, there is a reason. Was the reason Cobra Triangle? We will find out.
Gameplay.
So it starts with some unbelievable title artwork.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can we just start with the cover?
Like the promotional material for this game is unbelievable. If you're near a computer or a device right now, which you are, Google search Cobra Triangle and look at, and what you're going to see is a ship. Sorry, I keep calling it a ship.
Speedboat.
It's a boat, a red, orangish boat in water with a huge sea serpent that is coming out of the water. And you might think that that's just our artistic design or it's just something to get your attention.
Nah.
Nope, that's in the game.
Yep, and not even that far into the game.
No, and you also on the cover have landmines or like... Not landmines because you're in the water, but landmines and sharks. So
I forget,
what is this game about?
Does the cover have the part where your speedboat turns into a helicopter and flies away?
No, but
I don't
that does
think
happen.
So. So okay, so it's there's crazy variety which you're hearing right now, but the game starts extremely basic. At first, you're just a boat. Now you do have a propeller, I think, that drops you down into the first stage, but that's the only thing that seems odd. And even in the first stage, you race to the end.
Yeah.
It's a little odd when your boat starts shooting guns at other boats.
Yeah, but I mean it's a video game.
Yeah, but
so,
it feels right.
Sure. Yeah, it feels right. So you can take out some other boats on your way, but you're just racing to the end, and you're not racing necessarily against the other boats. You're just racing against the clock.
Right.
Super simple.
Yeah.
But then, at the end of the stage, a propeller sprouts up from the boat and carries you to the next level, which I'm not sure which is second, but you go from just a simple race to collecting and disposing of mines to collecting children that are drowning in dying. The water. Now, yeah. No, maybe they're just swimming, but other boats are coming to take
to
them
die,
away.
To kill them, yeah.
I hate that we got here so early because I wanted to spend a lot of time talking about how disturbing
we're
that
coming
level
back
was
to
for
it.
Me.
We can go walk through all of these, but I'm just letting them know of the variety because not only are you rescuing kids, but an alien ship is dropping little missiles that will freeze your boat temporarily. You've got a waterfall jumping stage, which we'll talk about extensively because screw that. Yeah. And then you've got periodic boss fights, which we'll talk about each of these in detail, but that's just a fragment of some of the things that you're doing in Cobra Triangle.
So what's it about again?
The complexity here is crazy. A lot of times we always are like, there wasn't enough variety in this game. We want more. It's just one thing and it kind of sticks to it. And like in this case, it was like they had five or six different ideas for how they could have a boat game and just stuck them back to back, kind of.
So do you think there's too much variety in this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, like, but no, it's not that it's variety. I welcome variety. It's just that they don't connect. Not yeah. that you have to have a story. If they would have tried to put a story here, it would have been forced and it would have been awkward.
Oh,
but
gosh.
Right.
I feel like the different components so have to connect in some capacity.
Well, I mean, okay, but playing the gameplay, I don't think this is a racing game and I don't think it's a combat game.
Yeah, what kind
I think
of game
it's
is
more
it, Nolan?
Of like a puzzle game almost, if that makes sense at all. And what
it's
I
definitely
mean is,
not a puzzle game,
but not in the traditional sense. But you're not doing those other things. You're accomplishing objectives each stage, and each one is different. And they're not long stages either. They feel like little puzzle stages. You beat it, and they get harder as you go. Like they're not long.
What it most feels like to me is almost like a game like Asteroid, but then with some weird arcade elements where you have different and varied gameplay. I don't know.
It's
weird.
It does feel very arcadey because you've also we said that you can shoot from your boat. You've got different abilities and you can collect these pods in various stages that upgrade one of the particular slots. So help me out, but the different abilities, one of them is Turbo. I think that's the first one, which just gives you a temporary boost in speed.
Right. Yeah. You can also upgrade your fire, which is actually better weapons.
Seeker missiles.
No. That's firing rate and that's spread.
Okay.
Right, only. Right, right. How they shoot. That's not missiles.
Right.
And then you can also
there
upgrade...
Is one.
Your missiles, which means getting them at all at first.
Right.
And then eventually there's more of them, and then they start homing, and then they do different things.
And then speed.
I think speed. And then you can also cash in upgrades to, like, recover your health and give yourself, like, temporary invulnerability.
What? What?
Yeah.
No, there's one that's called Force, and that's invulnerability.
Right, and it also recovers some of your health, I believe. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. Here's the thing. I know that using them or moving them is something involved with the select button, but I never mastered this and still don't really understand how to use or manipulate those whatsoever. I even looked up and tried to figure out how to do it, but I never...
It was something
kind of
complex.
Not a lot of info.
It's like you have to collect so many pods, but then it only upgrades... based on the last pod that you collected type or something like that. It was very confusing for me too. I pretty much just got in the habit of hitting select every once in a while and kind of hoping that I was at time for an upgrade.
I don't know about you guys. I also had a major issue with like understanding the HUD at the bottom.
It was super confusing at first. It got a little more clear, but it was very confusing at first.
Either way, none of this matters when you get to the waterfall stage because you have to somehow... So, Nolan, you mentioned it very briefly earlier, and for those that aren't, you know, deep into gaming like us professionals are, they're not necessarily going to know what 3D isometric, is that what the camera is set at?
Isometric, yeah. Age of
isotropic, yeah. So this is like just the camera angle that we're working with and like the graphics setup and that is in such a way that it makes it appear as though it is 3D, which makes it increasingly difficult to try to ramp off these ramps in any stage, but especially the waterfall stage, which you have to hit a single ramp to launch your boat over each and every chasm.
That's moving, and that you almost feel like you have to have gained the proper momentum to hit it before the ramp even shows up in your screen.
The ramp is moving.
Yeah, the ramp is moving.
Yes.
And you're having to hit it, and literally, like, you almost have to commit to your trajectory before you get to the ramp even being in your screen, I felt like.
And there's only a few different trajectories that you can turn. Like, it like Dustin said, it's like a faux 3D, so you can only turn so many times.
That's
then
super
you go straight.
Important to talk about. Like, when we say that you're moving around the screen, the way you're moving is your boat is either moving forward if you've got the accelerator pushed, or not moving at all, or you know, if like the water's flowing, you're moving backwards with the water, but you're accelerating and then you're turning left and right. You're never using really your up or down button pretty much at all. And so you're not like using the D-pad to like control where you want your boat to go in the screen like you would in a lot of games. You're using it like a steering wheel from the perspective of the boat, even though your camera's fixed. And that's weird and takes a little bit of adjusting to, and makes it that much harder when you're trying to hit these ramps and things.
Right. And I mean, not to mention there's a few whirlpools that try to catch you as you're trying to hit these ramps. So, I mean, it's just one thing after another. Some of the stages are fun.
Like, I found, what? Wait, hit the target?
Which ones?
No, I found early on, I was actually having lots of fun. I really was. It made no sense, like one level to the next for me, but just the gameplay and hey, I'm a boat and I can shoot stuff and run around and accomplish these tasks. I was actually having a blast, at least through the early levels of this game.
Yeah, it's a really, gameplay-wise, it's a super fast-paced game for the NES. I did notice that. Like, you kind of have to just jump in and start going fast and learning quick because, I don't know, it's just the way the controls work and the way how fast the enemies move. They move so fast. And it actually makes it a little harder.
I think there's 25 different stages, and some of them are similar, but the majority of them are completely diverse, as we've described. There are boss stages, which we've mentioned, and there's more than three bosses, Nolan, so please don't give in to Kenny's thing about it being a triangle. But you've got the first boss that we probably all naturally got to, which was the green sea dragon that is featured
Nessie.
On the cover of the game. I don't think it has a name.
Officially, Nessie is the name.
The giant pink crab, which we probably fewer of us got to. Then later, the giant pink squid, which...
It's a kraken.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I'll give you that one. And then there's a red sea dragon, which one hit insta-kills you, which is, you know, very nice because the game's not hard enough yet. And then if you're able to pass all that, there is kind of like a Jaws, like huge shark that fight that you have to do near the end. So the... Sorry, I just realized that I'm describing this game that is... What? Like, what is this game? You go from racing to rescuing drowning children from alien abductors. You from jumping over waterfalls to just so many different things, avoiding whirlpools and then fighting sea creatures. It doesn't make any sense.
You forgot the icebergs and you forgot the airplanes that randomly fly over you and shoot you.
Yeah.
You forgot so many things even. It's impossible to wrap your head around.
I just want to know the how the game started. What idea was it that started the talk of making Cobra Triangle? And then they were like, let's add this and this and this. And they never stopped. It's like when you're kids and you just start getting crazier and crazier.
Yeah. Like, I think is what they were going for is a really arcade-like game where you could get a high score, where you could fight your friends, where you could... I'm going to go ahead and pause because it seems like Kenny has the answer that's going to solve all of this.
Oh, gosh.
I was just ready to jump in. I figured it out. Triangle is because the programmers were in some kind of crazy love triangle. of programming, and each one of them did a completely separate style of game where there's three or more. Could it even be bigger than a triangle?
Like a square?
Pentagon?
A gameplay, and then they just put them all together. Easy. And then the Cobra part is you got to figure it out yourself.
All right. So,
it's a good explanation.
If you are back with us now, then just one last frustration, because if you are playing this game for a high score, trying to beat your friends, trying to put your three-letter name up on the scoreboard, then congratulations, there's no battery backup on this game, which means there's no saves, which means even if you do get a high score, it doesn't matter once you turn the system off. Have fun.
I didn't realize that was the case. That's awesome.
Aged. All right. So the thing that stood out to me age-wise, after we've talked about it, we've kind of had a negative tone so far, so let me bring it in a different direction. I thought the graphics were pretty nice. I mean, you do have that isometric view, so that's a little unique, but I thought they pulled it off really well.
No, for the time, it looked really good.
Nice details, great colors, and it had different, different looks. Not per level, but every couple of levels you would get a different color scheme, different landscape. So I like the graphics.
1989.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, even the feel was really natural. As much as I kind of didn't knock, but sort of questioned the just, hey, turn left and right kind of interface of movement, it felt really natural, like when you were bumping up against stuff, kind of what your hitboxes were and how quickly, even though your boat like accelerates and stops very quickly, you kind of needed that for gameplay and maneuverability. But the way stuff shot and reacted, it was fluid and it was smooth. And like, this was a pretty well put together game on like the functionality kinds of parts and the look.
So the two things that bother me when it comes to age is the camera angle. It bothered me to no ends trying to hit range. Like, there shouldn't be a single stage that is near impossible to beat unless you just get lucky. And that was the waterfall stage to me. And that's fairly early in the game. So it's not even like you had plenty of time to understand the content. You know what? I read or watched something recently, and I don't think that I have shared it on the podcast, but that early, or you know, I don't know if it was this early, but in the 90s for sure, that because gaming rental was such a huge thing, that they intentionally made it easy at first, and then a quarter in maybe or somewhere they spike the difficulty extremely so that you can't just beat it through renting, but that you enjoy it enough so that you purchase it. It makes plenty of sense.
You mean for this game specifically, or for like
games in general.
I'm talking about for games.
Yeah, so I believe that.
You see that in the Lion King game we played. You see this in Super Nintendo and Nintendo games, that it's easy at first, and then there's a spike that is just ridiculous. And I wonder if that was what was at work here. Regardless, it's the difficulty and the camera that are mixed together, because I think a lot of my difficulty was with the camera. I did well for the most part, but then lost all my lives and all my continues when it came to like a specific stage. So it just became impossible for me to be able to enjoy.
I was okay with the camera angle. I liked that they went for it on the NES, and I feel like they got a good result. I really do think that. It did cause some frustrations, but I can get over those. The problem I have with the age is just that it did not feel like a cohesive game. It was too, like, besides the outlandish themes and things going on, those were funny, at least. So I'm not knocking it for that. I'm just knocking it for the fact that each stage is its own thing, but there's no goal and there's no point. There's no, like, clear goal. I just felt like stages ended, and then I was like, well, I must have got lucky. So I think the gameplay is what falls so hard here, and just giving me a purpose to go back and have fun with it.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with you, Nolan. I think the thing that stuck out to me on the age front, and we run into with this a lot, and again, I bring it up almost every time, it's a little unfair because the way we're interacting with the game doesn't allow for us to have the guidebook that came with the game or some of the things that were standard in that time. So we may be missing important pieces of the puzzle. But to me, the learning curve of the fact that there were upgrades at all and how you got them, they end up being so important to the gameplay. And you almost can't even stumble across them. My first whole time playing through, I think I may have accidentally upgraded one thing, but it wasn't until I went back and like researched this game and read about it some and had to go back and try completely again that I figured out some of those more advanced mechanics. And on a game that's supposed to be so just pick it up and play, the fact that you can't figure some of those things out right away, which goes more into some of the UI stuff that Dustin talked about and whatever else, is just really frustrating. Even though there were parts of this game that the play itself I really enjoyed, I didn't mind as much that it was a little schizophrenic in its design, you know, that it was kind of all over the map. I thought some of that was fun. It was more the, more the teaching design kind of helping you figure out mechanically how to get through the game that was frustrating to me.
If you want to play this game today, it's very easy. Not only can you find cartridges, but it's, as Kenny mentioned earlier, it's included in the recent Rare Replay for Xbox One. So you can easily play this today. And you might enjoy it, you might not, but either way, you're going to have no idea what you're playing.
The final shell shock.
At the end of each and every episode, we determine whether or not this game receives our vote for New Game Plus status, which is just our general thumbs up or thumbs down for this game. Do we suggest that you go out and find a copy and play it, or refrain and play a different retro video game? It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I'll just start from the beginning and say that I completely and empathetically do not give this game my vote for New Game Plus status. I think the handling is off, the concept is bad, the difficulty is extreme, it's disconnected. What astounds me so much is that this game gets undue credit, in my opinion. It gets undue credit. If you look around at the reviews, at what people have said about it, about the fondness that people have towards this game, they really do love this game. And I don't understand it. I see some of the good qualities of this game. I see, like, I can see how it could be fun in 1989, 1990, 1991 to some degree, but I don't think that translates to making it a good game that is a must play. So I definitely do not give this game my vote for New Game Plus status.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, it's actually, it was well received at the time and people still are all about it.
It's on a number of even somewhat later lists of kind of some of the best of NES.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right. I think the only reason it would be on that is that it was unique and so different from normal NES titles, if you want to call it that. I don't give it New Game Plus because it's not fun. And I don't know if it's people that are just like, oh, it's Rare. It's like their original thing. You know, just because it's Rare. And I'm like, no, I don't get it. If there's something to get, I don't get it. I laughed at the cover when I saw it, but
that's the most enjoyment.
Yeah, that's about as fun as I had. So no,
I think I got a little bit closer than you guys to kind of being in that camp.
Yeah, I wasn't close.
Yeah, obviously my vote doesn't matter at all. I'll go ahead and
ever.
Sometimes right. It matters, but especially this week because we got to have a majority. I'll go ahead and agree with you guys and say overall this one doesn't, and I'm going to say doesn't quite get a New Game Plus from me. But I started having a lot of fun with this game. I thought it
really,
it felt and looked original. It was fast. It felt arcadey. It definitely felt old, but I was having a blast. Like, the first time I had to grab those mines and move them and figure out those mechanics, and the guys were chasing me down and I'm spinning in circles, and I was just having a lot of fun with the simplicity and straightforwardness of this game. I was. You got a boat, it's shooting stuff, they throw a bunch of different challenges at you. Cool. But then the challenges that at first seemed really, really varied started to be repetitive. You get those same 5 or 6, but you get that same type again and again and again. And so even there wasn't as much creativity as I thought. And yeah, the difficulty just ramped for no reason. And there were some parts that were so frustrating and some that were so ridiculous. The saving swimmers' lives and just little things. That
was my favorite stage.
Was it your favorite?
Yeah, out of all the other ones.
I thought it was the most ridiculous. The gameplay, I thought, is fun on that one, with everybody coming at you. I just thought the premise was ridiculous. That was the first one that made me, like, laugh at the game. Like, what? Even more than the sea monster. but it's a wild game. It's all over the map. I get how people who played it then could be really fond of it. They did some things really well. But yeah, ultimately, it's not a good enough game for me either.
So the guys of New Game Plus disagree with, I guess, the masses that do enjoy this game. We're not telling you you can't play this game, so go and try to see what you think. And let us know. Tweet at us or send us an email. Let us know what you think. Because I would love to hear from someone that actually absolutely loves this game.
I know at least one of our viewers in Discord this week was talking about how much fun he was having playing it. And so I know there's people that really enjoy this title, and you may be one of them.
And obviously someone recommended it, but I guess that doesn't necessarily mean they liked it.
It doesn't mean anything.
Wanted to laugh at it.
Someone recommended Jurassic Park, so...
That's true.
So we only received one message this week. It was from Mick, and he said, this game is a lot like Rare's RC Pro AM, or AM, I don't know,
yeah,
which came out a year earlier. I had RC Pro Am, and my cousin Judy had Cobra Triangle. They were both ridiculously hard. I got stuck on the exact same part, rescuing the people. Neither of us ever beat it. Hopefully, you guys had better luck.
We did not.
I mean,
no, it's a,
I did make it past that stage.
It's a hard game, though. You were correct in that assessment, and
it's very hard.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have made the comparison between those two titles, so that's fair.
Yeah.
But thank you for your input. If you would like to have your thoughts on any particular game of the week that we play, send them in. We'd love to include that as a part of our podcast. You can kind of see the ups and downs whenever we're playing like a very popular or very good game. We'll often have people play with us and send in tons and tons of commentary. When it's a either more obscure game or an older game or maybe a less enjoyed game, we tend to get less, but sometimes it just depending on the week, we've got a lot of people that are playing either a bad game or a good game with us. We'd love for you to be included in that. Speaking of, it is our time of the episode where we randomly select the new retro video game of the week. We've got growing retro master list, which you can find the link to on our social media. And if you want to suggest any games for that list, please do. Only stipulation, it has to be 15 years old or older. It can be on any system. It can be any genre. We'd love to include that on the list and then it be in the randomizer for one of our next games. For this week, I'm going to spin the randomizer and we're going to find out what game we're going to be playing. Hopefully, it's better than Cobra Triangle. We're going to be playing a game that came out in 1993 for the PC.
Interesting.
Broderbund is the company that made the game, which also made Lode Runner and some other incredible games that we have played and heard of. This game is called Myst.
Whoa.
No.
Hey, is this like Atlantis? Isn't this what
it
Atlantis
is? It is a graphic adventure puzzle game. No, but I think that it's good.
I think so, too.
Right?
Everyone says Myst is amazing.
I never played Myst, but I did play a whole bunch of Riven and never got through it.
Are they
the
related?
Sequel. Riven is the sequel and was much, much better graphically and much bigger and more complex, but functioned in kind of the same way. And everyone just raved so much about Myst. And so I'm kind of glad to go back and see the origin story there.
Okay.
We'll see.
I like these kind of games have done well, but they are most often done poorly. The game has been ported for many systems, Sega Saturn, PlayStation, Macintosh, Windows, like Atari, PlayStation Portable, Nintendo DS, iOS. It's everywhere. So play it with us this week. I know that at least one of our viewers will enjoy that it is on mobile devices because she plays pretty much every single game on device. So
Dustin, I may be wrong, and if some of our viewers know, maybe they can fill you in Twitch chat, or I'm sorry, in Discord, but I'm pretty sure this is a game that could be very, very majorly spoiled by looking up a guide. I have the sense that that's true.
Good call.
I'm not certain, but you may want to kind of just like ask someone generally, how do I need to interact with this game? Because I think it's one that if I remember reading about it years ago, that the nature of the puzzles, if you don't, like if you go through a guide, it's going to pretty much ruin the whole experience. So as much as you try to tend to be that person, I think we got to try and give it a raw kind of original playthrough if we can.
Yeah. I'm actually super excited to try this game. I heard a lot about it, have never played it though. So hopefully it's a good one.
I don't know if you knew this, Dustin, but they released a novelization based on the game. I'm pretty sure, again, this is from memory of years ago. So if you wanted to go really try hard mode, you could also read a book this week.
Yeah, we're starting a book club, Antonin. So you've been looking for one. This is it. Join us on our Discord this week. We'd love to speak with you on the daily. We are in our Discord channel. Links can be found on our social media sites online as well. We are in there all the time, just wanting to we talk about everything. We've got channels all the way from lounge, previous games, game of the week,
music.
Music. So we're in there chatting all day. We've got some incredibly loyal and nice and kind and creative viewers who are mostly content creators of their own. So if you would love to come and join us and be a part of that more intimate family, then find that link online and join us on Discord this week.
Yeah, we got a pretty great community.
You can connect with us on our social media, Facebook and or Twitter at NGV Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure to swing by there and drop us a nice review if you would be so kind to do that. That does help with our visibility. Also, word of mouth goes a long way. So if you know anyone that likes video games or in particular retro video games, tell them about New Game Plus and see if it is something that they would enjoy.
We got to take a minute and thank all of you who support us on Patreon, especially our producers, but want to point out how great those patrons are. We should point out that we have made a couple of slight tweaks to some of our Patreon support levels, but in ways that are for your good, and include getting some really cool New Game Plus swag. So if you've been around recently, you've seen the new the rebranding, the awesome sweet little logo we've got going on. Who I still think we need to name. You guys can get on the Patreon site and see that at the $10 level, you guys now have access to getting some of those sweet merchandise hookups. So hope you guys go and check that out.
What would you name him, Kenny, our little mascot?
I forgot. I established this a couple of episodes ago, and it was the perfect name, but I literally don't recall, and I don't want to work against myself, so I'm going to just say, go back and listen. He's already been named.
What about Sazed?
False. This is not Book Club. Knock it off.
Scott Farkas.
No, don't ever say that. What? All right. Well, goodness. Join us next week as we play Myst. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.